the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Series podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, USA Today NFL wire site that covers the Arizona Cardinals, and we are in episode, I think it's going to be episode 584, because it depends on a couple of other episodes, whether Howard gets something updated that way I can throw up tonight, recording on a Wednesday. And the special guest is we are in week one. Seth and I talked about a few things leading up, and we will have a show later in the week with our preview picks and props that we're looking at in week one. Coming back on the show, as he joined us just a couple of months ago during the summer months for the opponent preview, Nick Wotan, the managing editor from BillsWire.com, our sister site that covers the Buffalo Bills. Nick, welcome back to the show. I appreciate your time. How have you been, and how excited are you for it to finally be meaningful football? Because we cover football 52 weeks a year, 365 days a year, but that offseason does get long, especially, well, at least for me, the Cardinals. Yeah. They played nobody. They did not give any starters any snaps in the preseason, so we have absolutely no idea what the starters are actually going to look like. All we know is the backups and third stringers are awful by themselves.
yeah, that's fair. But I'm doing well. Finally something to substantially write about, as you referenced there. We have a lot to write about for 12 months of the year, and I'm sure you get the same conversation sometimes when you're explaining to somebody what you have to write about in May or whatever. Get a little creative, but now it gets a little bit, I guess, simplified, but more substance to it. And in Western New York, it started off with a bang already, with Stephon Diggs having quite the interview, saying that he kind of forced his way out of Buffalo. So, we feel like we're already there in Buffalo.
Well, I mean, did anyone think otherwise?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did that sound like news when I heard that? I'm like, well, this is par for the course for him. He did it in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And he got to a point where he was unhappy, and he basically forced his way to trade to Buffalo. Was great for a couple of years, but then he had a point where he wanted more money. Now he's going to Houston. Now he's in Houston, which that team, watch out for Houston this year. But was there anything honestly surprising about what he said, or like from your perspective?
I would say the only slightly thing surprising is, I guess, the fact that he even said anything. It felt like it was done and dusted. And for a little bit there, it seemed like it was going the arc of, okay, yeah, this is a little bit of a friendly breakup, even though we obviously know there's something going on behind the scenes. But now it became a little bit more pointed or specified, where it seems like his issue was with Joe Brady, the, I guess, new offensive coordinator who's the interim last season. And when Joe Brady took over from Ken Dorsey, they started basically, in a 5-second breakdown, they started running the ball more. Steph got less targets. Steph got unhappy. And everyone kind of knew that. But then he said it, and it was, oh, is he mad at Josh Allen? Is he mad at X, Y, Z? Well, now we know the answer is Joe Brady. So that's pretty much the 5-second big update, that he wasn't a fan of Joe Brady and he wanted to leave.
Well, and it's interesting because and you can attest to this. When did Buffalo start getting hot? I mean, when did they start finding have the best success that they had last year offensively? It's when they let James Cook cook. When they started basing it on that. And so you always hate that as from an outsider. And I know what, as coaches would hate to hear that, because coaches preach team over self, right? And for a team that had the success they had, especially late in the season, making it to the postseason, of course, not beating Patrick Mahomes again.
I would say the only other difference, too, between his departure from Minnesota and his departure from Buffalo is that he was a little bit more directly involved, and everybody knew he wanted to leave Minnesota. And it was like this time everyone was pretty sure they knew, everyone knew. And I would say the one big difference was he was tweeting it himself. Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, admitted that he saw Stephon Diggs tweeting about wanting to leave, and that kind of played a part in him trying to get Stephon Diggs at some point, and then it happened. This time he was I don't know if it was because he thought this was a smarter move and people would cover it up, because he did have a press conference at one point and say, this is him, not me. But his brother was injured all last season, didn't play, and his brother was the one tweeting out all this kind of negative narrative. Right. And it's like, okay, like we know, like a lot of us have siblings, and it's like, all you got to do is send one text message and be like, hey, bro, be quiet. And he gets, you know, no, he's him tweeting. It's nothing to do with me.
Yeah, well, we dealt with that for a long time with Larry Fitzgerald, because his brother Marcus and his father, they would tweet some things. But Larry made it very clear. He's like, they do not speak for me. Yeah. there might have been some truth for it, but he's like, they do not speak for me. Yeah. So don't go by what they say.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, what did you make of the survey that came out from ESPN where Josh Allen was voted the most overrated quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah. That was quite the interesting narrative that came about. And Josh kind of gave, I guess, the rest of the NFL world a little bit of his, I guess, personality. And the reason why everyone loves him in Buffalo is that he was the one that came out and said that he tweeted, oh, I can't believe they voted me the best, or the number one trash talker in the NFL. And he just like played that off. He's always like that. He's got a dry sense of humor to him. And that's why a lot of people like him in Western New York. But it was not all that surprising to me, because, you know, when you're on the outside looking into a team, as especially we do, and we're so critical on one team and we know the ins and outs and all that, you know, a lot of people on the outside will say, well, he turns the ball over a lot, you know, and that's kind of what all that argument was leaning on, was he turns the ball over a lot. And yes, he does, for sure. But the amount of good things he does outweighs that tenfold. I mean, between passing touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, putting the team on his back, as they like to say, he does it all. So, I mean, you want him to cut down on it, and hopefully he will one day. We could hope. but it wasn't all that surprising, especially just reading into the finer details of that, oh, yeah, he turns the ball over. It's like, well, yeah, he does. Well, he does. But then he also throws the ball 60 yards and rushes it for another feet.
He had 44 combined touchdowns last year. He accounted for an ungodly amount of Buffalo's offense last year, of their offensive production, especially in terms of points. Mm-hmm. And, you know, was Brett Favre overrated, this Hall of Fame quarterback? You can kind of look at the same thing. So in terms of, if you look at Josh Allen as he should be doing Patrick Mahomes and he hasn't gotten the championships, and he turns, like, I guess if you view him in a Patrick Mahomes lens, I guess he's overrated. But then if you go like around like historically, so if you did the same thing, if you did the same thing and looked at everyone else in the previous generation of quarterbacks through a Tom Brady lens, was Brett Favre overrated? Well, he's a Hall of Famer. And Josh Allen is well on his way to the Hall of Fame based on the career that he's had so far. So maybe it's because they expect Patrick Mahomes type thing. He's not the same player.
Yeah.
But hey, that said, coming into this season, how much different is that offense going to look? You guys let James Cook cook last year. Is James Cook still going to be the focal point of the offense? And how much of a different passing game production are you expecting to see now that you've got no Stephon Diggs, you've got no Gabriel Davis? So your receiver room doesn't look nearly as formidable when your guys are Mac Hollins and Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, and Keon Coleman. Curtis Samuel's a solid guy. Khalil Shakir, I know that they kind of feels like he can fill that Gabe Davis role, but Mac Hollins doesn't like move the dial for most people. And Keon Coleman, as athletic as he was, there's a reason why he wasn't one of the first receivers taken. Because he and I was madly in love with Keon Coleman. I did, guys close to me said the one thing to look at him is because he ran a really limited route tree in college, and so there would be a learning curve. What do you expect from the passing game this year?
I would say just overall, in terms of just the any differences I would say this year definitely will be with the passing game. And mostly, you know, we're talking up Allen a little bit there, but we'll mostly have to do with that receiving core, because, you know, as much as people in Western New York aren't happy with Stephon Diggs right now, he's a very good player. And, you know, the point you were alluding to is, you know, they look like a team where they got a couple of number two wide receivers, and that's about it. Nothing over the top. And I think is what the plan is. If you look at Shakir, you look at a guy like Curtis Samuel, I think those guys, and throw in Dalton Kincaid there as the, you know, pass-catching tight end, I think we're going to see a more of an offense of, you know, there'll be big plays. There's always big plays for every team, but maybe not like a Hail Murray. Those things happen only once in a long while.
Not to see that ever again, I'm sure.
But there's when a team like that, I think, is what the Bills' plan is with their roster right now, is I think we're going to see more quick passing. They only got such a limited dose of it in the preseason. They did play Allen a bit, and it was pretty much just that first preseason game, because the way it went was they played for the first quarter of that game, and there's a lot of quick passing. Get the ball to Shakiri, quick guy. Samuel, quick guy. Kincaid, he's right there. You know, he's playing in the slot. He's a tight end. So I think we're going to see a lot of that. And, you know, Gabe Davis was your classic, you know, X receiver, go down and get it. As he had a lot of big games like that. But as you mentioned, is Mac Hollins going to be that guy right now? Is Keon Coleman going to be that guy right now? I don't think so. So we're going to see a little bit of adjustment, and I think we're going to see a good amount of quick passing, quick strike kind of things, and we'll mix in, you know, maybe something, a shot or two. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But then, you know, as the preseason unfolded, we kind of went and turned into the Arizona Cardinals, if you will, because then the starters were going to play in week two, and then the game was in Pittsburgh, and it was probably a good call, because Mitchell Trubisky then and went got hurt. They didn't play Allen and the starters really, because it was a crap weather day. And then you get to the final preseason game, and it's like, what's the point? So really, we only saw the starters for a very limited amount of time ourselves, but that's what it's aiming towards. And of course, let Cook cook. Yeah, it's going to be mixed in as well.
And what does the running back, so what does the running game, you get James Cook with Ty Johnson, Ray Davis, by the way, Ray Davis, a running back I really like coming out of college, a real complete back. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the depth after Cook, and how much is he going to be a true workhorse, or they're going to try and try to save some carries for later in the season?
Yeah, I think that maybe early on he will, but he'll still, at least compared to the other guys, so I think he's definitely going to get his plenty of touches out of the gate. Ray Davis, a little bit of fumbling issue in the training camp. James Cook even too, but he's a veteran. Ty Johnson is definitely going to have a role though too. For whatever reason, just Joe Brady loved the guy. He loved the guy last season. He found a way to get him on the field. Ty Johnson just, you know, he came to Buffalo. I just remember, wasn't that guy with the Jets who had a couple good plays? And, you know, Joe Brady loves to throw him out there, especially on passing down. So I think that the most interesting dynamic I'm looking forward to early in the season, I think, you know, throughout most of the field, if you will, you're going to see a lot of James Cook. But red zone, I'm going to be interested. Goal line, I'm going to be interested, because the Bills have tried and failed for seemingly years now to get your, before James Cook, it was Devin Singletary, the smaller, quicker back, and then get that bigger second back. At first, it was Singletary and Zach Moss. Zach Moss ended up going to the Colts. Even just last year, James Cook, and they brought on Leonard Fournette, of all people, to the practice squad. So they've been trying to get that bigger guy. Is Ray Davis it? Not sure yet, but we're going to find out. So fantasy football, anyone like me who has their fantasy football drafted about 2 hours tonight, I'm curious to see what running backs in the Bills I could potentially take. Touchdowns are going to be big, though. So we'll see who's the goal line back, but I think James Cook is going to have, you know, coming off his Pro Bowl year, he surprised me. Proved me wrong, I should say. Ended up being a lot better than I thought he would.
The defense has consistently been very good over the last few seasons when you look at what Sean McDermott's done. And then now, what is sort of, and if we look at the defensive rank, they've been a top, in terms of rank, a top four defense in the last, in points allowed each of the last 4 years and five out of the last six. They were number four in points and number nine in yards last year. They were second in points the year before that. I'm sorry, the last 3 years. I'm looking, there's some stats already. So I guess they just start them ranked number one on Pro Football Reference. So each of the last 3 years and four out of the last five, they've been a top four unit in points and a top 10 unit in yards allowed. Do you expect more of the same in terms of great defense in 2024?
Yeah, I think we're going to see, because I think a part of that over the last couple of years has been dependent on the offense. You know, when you go up big on teams, it makes your life a little bit easier on defense sometimes, especially when the Bills, when they have their good secondary. Tre'Davious White's gone, Jordan Poyer's gone, Micah Hyde's gone. So big question mark on defense too, because when you got good defensive backs like that, and you know they're going to pass the ball, it makes your life a little bit easier. But I think is where we're going to see a little bit of difference in Buffalo this year is they're going to depend on that defensive line a bit, at least a bit more than they have. They're definitely hoping that Von Miller gets better, because last year he came back from that ACL injury, and he's 35 years old, and no sacks, didn't look good at all. But they kind of say, you know, 2 years after that is when you start to see a guy come back. So Bills are definitely hoping that that's the case right now. And just overall prediction for them, I think that maybe you'll see a bit of a drop off, but I'm not expecting a lot. They have a lot of new faces in their secondary right now. Rasul Douglas, they traded for in the deadline last year. Christian Benford is a very underrated, another outside cornerback. And then you have Kaiir Elam, who's kind of, I don't want to say verging on first round flop, but, you know, never really showed these worth that at cornerback. Taron Johnson at nickel is very good. And then safeties, you got Taylor Rapp, you know, that kind of just handed him a starting job. Just announced today, Damar Hamlin's the starter. Nobody really knew what was going on until just a couple hours ago who was going to start there. But all that said, the one area I've always given Sean McDermott credit for, he was a former defensive back himself when he played back in college. He's very good at coaching up the secondary. So I think that that is going to quell some of the fears. But, you know, you get rid of maybe a generational safety duo on Hayden Poyer. Tre'Davious White was really good in his top day. I think maybe you'll see a little bit of a drop off, and also dependent on the offense. And, you know, if Josh Allen can put up, you know, 17 points on the Cardinals in the first half, and it's 17-3, well, you know, we know it's kind of going to happen. The second half might make the game a little easier, but easier said than done. All that said,
the injury to Matt Milano, how impactful is that to the defense as he starts the year on injured reserve?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big one as well. When I kind of missed there, Terrell Bernard, though, he's kind of had a breakout. He kind of had a breakout year last year, I should say, because they lost Tremaine Edmonds going into last year. And Edmonds and Milano were always a great duo. The Bills only start two linebackers. Taron Johnson, who I mentioned, is kind of their nickel defender, three down nickel defender. Matt Milano, though, the guy's finally in the past year or two gotten that credit, but since really early in his career, he's been just dynamite of your modern day kind of, you know, we're not talking a player like, who am I going to think of, like Brian Urlacher or someone whose just neck seems like the biggest tree trunk on earth. You know, he's not the biggest guy on earth, but Matt Milano's that he's versatile. He can cover, he can do everything. So they're definitely going to miss him. And that a big reason, you know, even if they're just being hopeful, which I think they are, he has that bicep injury. We're going to see if he can come back, but I think the Bills, cause he's so good, if they can hang on to any little sliver of hope that he can come back towards the end of the year, that they're definitely going to do it, because he's dynamite and they're going to miss him. Dorian Williams is the next guy up. Third round pick, didn't really get kind of snaps last year, but, you know, puts a little bit more pressure on Terrell Bernard, our another linebacker. So we'll see, but I think it's going to be tough for them. And that's going to fall, I think, on the defensive front there too. And, you know, the likes of Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, and AJ Epinesa to get to the quarterback, get to Kyler Murray this Sunday.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Secret Podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on and talk about matchups that we're looking at. What are going to be the matchups that matter in Cardinals Bills? That's coming up next on Rise Up Secret. We're back on the Rise of Seared podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk of the Web, talking to Nick Wotan from BillsWire.com. We've already talked about just the Bills in general, what they do, what their team looks like now as through the preseason. Now let's talk about matchups. I like talking about matchups that, and what for those of you who also read the site, this is what you're going to end up hearing and seeing. It is this show also often becomes the the spoken version of our Behind Enemy Lines feature. I'll be sending you those questions probably later tonight.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at some matchups that for you that you think will matter most on the Bills side of the ball, what are the matchups that you are looking at most importantly right now?
I think the most important one would be, whoever on Khalil Shakir. He's mostly going to be, he wants to be a, you know, outside inside receiver. So whoever's lining up on him on the inside, whoever you guys have.
That'll be Garrett Williams.
Garrett Williams. Yeah. I was going to say his name, but I was like, no, but a big, doesn't do that. Does he?
It looks like Garrett. So he's going to be the nickel back, but I believe he will play every down. So he'll be the inside outside guy. So it'll be Sean Murphy bunting with Garrett Williams in base. And then in nickel, Starling Thomas will come in and Garrett Williams will slide into the nickel in that sense. So that's how that will go. So you'll have
on the Bills side of things, it's pretty simple. There's one player on this roster right now who's a wide receiver who has caught a regular season pass from Josh Allen, and it is Shakir. That is it. All the turnover. That is it. Couple guys in preseason. That's it. So I think that's going to be a big matchup for me on offense, if you will. If you want to get one defensively, they're expecting the Bills like to move their defensive linemen around, to be honest, outside, inside, both sides. Sean McDermott's been always really big. I remember covering the Bills in our first season that he was there back in 2017, where, you know, we were asking him as the media about his why is Jerry Hughes at the time the top pass rusher? Why is he only paying 60-70% of snaps? And he's just like, oh no, this is what I do. I rotate defensive linemen. And to his credit, he does that. So these guys are going to be all over the place. So I mean, it might not even be worth going through any offensive linemen, but Greg Rousseau is the guy that they are expecting, especially this past week in the NFL. Everyone's talking this extension, that extension. Everyone's getting extensions this week in Buffalo. how about Greg Rousseau? Maybe people are thinking he's already locked up on the fifth-year option, but I think this is the year that they need him to get double-digit sacks. And as I mentioned, it really, really comes down to a lot with those secondary question marks. I mean, God love Damar Hamlin and everything he's been through and that incredible story, but I'm a little bit like, all right, we'll see. We'll see what happens because, you know, he's played sparingly throughout his career before, you know, that terrible incident with him. And even Taylor Rapp out there, he should
Taylor
have.
Taylor Rapp kind of underrated. I remember him from his days with the Rams. And historically, he gives Kyler Murray problems. He gave Kyler Murray all sorts of fits in L.A. I think he's caught picked off Murray three or four different times in his career.
Oh, lovely. I can't wait to throw that in a story this week. Thank you.
I'll have to go back. I'll have to look back. But Rapp was a problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopes are higher on him because the Bills felt comfortable enough to just say in the spring, he's starting. Damar Hamlin for sure. And then Benford's very good. But, you know, you're one injury away from, all right, is Kyir Elam, is he the first rounder that we thought he was? So that secondary is going to be tested, I think. And Greg Rousseau, if he can have that breakout year, get Von Miller in there if he can come back. But, yeah, Greg Rousseau, putting him on the defensive line.
Is Von going to be a more limited specialized pass rusher, like in particular packages, it kind of like Dwight Freeney for the Cardinals in 2015?
I would gander probably, but to try and give you that answer, I would gander based on what you said, that him and Kyler Murray played the same amount of snaps in the preseason. So it's very limited right now with Von Miller.
Kyler played zero.
Yes, he's been very under wraps, and the Bills kind of, you know, made a good point. You know, I think it was probably McDermott McDermott where he just kind of explained it like, he's Von Miller. He hasn't played in the preseason in like a decade, probably. He just doesn't need it. He doesn't do it. So they're giving nothing away. They're giving us no hints right now, but I would guess so. I mean, he came back last year and he's the hardest guy to read. I know they're out West, but it's AFC, NFC between the Broncos, Cardinals, but he since he comes to the Bills, is the most optimistic guy I've ever covered in my life. He is always like, believe myself, I got it, I'm going to do it. And then no sacks when he came back last year. And he's like, well, I probably shouldn't have been out there. It's like, Con, you were the one saying that out there. No one else was saying it except you. So they're all the talk. It's going to be proven. You like to think, as we kind of mentioned before, that all the medical experts, the teams, they say 2 years is what it takes to get back from that ACL injury. And if he can get to that, he even in a specialized role can be a very good player for the Bills, because he was very, very good before he got hurt. Signing was looking great. And then, yeah.
The type of player that he is. So because he cracked that age 30 and still was productive, as long as he did not completely lose all explosiveness, he's like, he should be in a limited role, very productive. Yeah. That's how I view that. It won't be every down, but you'll see flashes of, oh my gosh.
He
did that. And as long as they're limiting, and I'll go back to 2015 and Dwight Freeney, when the Cardinals signed him about midseason, he ended up with 8 sacks in like the final 10 games because they used him in specific pass, in specific packages where his job was just rush the passer. Don't worry about the other stuff.
I think will depend on, Dwayne Smoot, I think he used to play for the Jaguars. He's had a pretty promising preseason. The one thing is with him being an every down guy, Von Miller, is just him against the run. Is it worth it to get him out there with those snaps? Or do you say like limited? Because AJ Epenesa, not the greatest against the run. Greg Rousseau, great against the run. So it's like, how's that rotation going to work? But, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, Rousseau, I'm going to assume that his primary spot's going to be over left tackle. I know they move Brett, but isn't that kind of his primary spot?
Yeah.
Rousseau versus Paris Johnson is going to be fun, because this is going to be our first game look again, because none of the starters, like on offense, the only starter that plays any snaps was Marvin Harrison, and he played 3 snaps in the first game, and that's it. So this is going to first look that we're going to see in a game of Paris Johnson, a left tackle. He was a right tackle last year as a rookie. Rousseau versus Johnson. But on the other side, I mean, AJ Epenesa is no slouch as a pass rusher. I like him coming out of college. He's a solid secondary guy, and he's going to go up against Jonah Williams, who is in his first season with the Cardinals and hasn't been a great tackle. Like, he's a solid starting tackle, but if you're looking for like shutting guys down, he's not been that guy since he was drafted. So
he could be a matchup. He was a high pick, wasn't he?
He was a top 10 pick for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, there's a reason, they don't keep a guy like that, then, if you will. He's a very, I don't want to say streaky player, but a little bit of a streaky player. And another big player, I'd sound silly if I didn't mention, is Ed Oliver in the middle of the defensive line. He's a force.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good player. He's him and Epenesa, honestly, they started their career a little bit slow, but Ed Oliver for sure is just, he's a very good interior defensive line and rushing the passer for sure.
And I think one thing to watch will be the Cardinals start with the run game with James Conner. Now, Kyler, I think, is going to have a big year, but their offense does begin with the run game, and James Conner is the engine that makes that offense go. So how the defensive interior and how the linebackers play against Conner will be kind of key. Can the run game on first and second down, are they only getting 1 or 2 yards, or are they getting 2, 3? Are they getting 3 or 4 yards to keep them on schedule? And I think that'll be fun to watch, especially with no Milano. Granted, you guys, like, you're used to Milano missing games. He only played 5 games last year, and he's missed games of pretty much every year that he's been there. Then I look at who's going to be the corner that's probably going to be matched up against Marv.
Probably Rasul Douglas. When he came to the Bills, he fit like a glove. Top guy. He can go play anywhere and out. Very good. Surprisingly, the Bills only got him for a mid to late pick. He actually just revealed this week that he partially tore his MCL or something and played through it in the playoffs last year. I mean, the guy was, seamlessly kind of replaced Tre'Davious White, which is a little bit, don't be too mean with him when he's with the Rams, but people in Buffalo love that guy. He was the first draft pick of Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. And he was their first round pick, and he was beloved guy. Everyone in Buffalo loved him. Sad to see him go, but salary cap injuries, that happens. But Rasul Douglas, they played maybe two games without Trey and then got Douglas at the deadline, and he stepped right in and was rock solid.
I think the other matchup that'll be critical in the passing game, I think, for Buffalo will be how the Cardinals defend Dalton Kincaid. Between Kaiser White, Mack Wilson, or the safeties that they run, or Zaven Collins, because they're going to have a lot of different guys that cover that spot. But that's going to be important. They had some pretty good success against tight ends last year. They didn't allow a tight end touchdown till I think it was week 10. I think it was until Cleveland. But and they had pretty good success against tight ends last year. And Kaiser White is quite good in coverage. Zaven Collins from that outside backer position moves really well and can drop, does well with that. But let's move on to the final segment. Coming up next on the Rise of Secret Podcast, Mr. Cardinals talking the web. This is what you guys are waiting for. What are predictions? What does Nick predict for this game for the Bills and Cardinals? That's coming up next on Rise of Secret. We're back on the Rise of Secret Podcast, Mr. Cardinals talk on the web. We're talking preview matchups and now picks and predictions. Nick, how confident are you in this Bills team in week one? Week one tends to be offensively, if we look at the last few years, week one is kind of a mess, isn't it?
Yeah, the Bills, just again, there's so much question going on with this offense and so much, what are we going to see new this year? We got a little, you get a taste of it with Joe Brady last year as a new offensive coordinator, but now so many new pieces and stuff. But I think the important pieces that they're going to rely on early, Josh Allen has chemistry with him. And I was just thinking last segment, I should have brought up another name too. I mentioned Shakir, I mentioned Kincaid, but also Dawson Knox is a pretty solid number two tight end. And that's where I think a lot of that Dinkin and Duncan is going to come in, and hopefully Allen's chemistry with those three guys will weigh heavy for them. Everyone else, we'll see. We'll see, since he only played one series, I think, in the preseason. So, yeah. excuse me. But we'll see. I think we're going to see plenty of James Cook as well. I, again, don't want to forget him. Cook will cook, as they say.
So, you know, last year, Josh Allen in the opener was against the Jets when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. They pulled out that game, but Josh Allen had three interceptions, was sacked five times. The year before, they were plenty good in week one as they walloped the Rams 31-10. But even in that game, Josh Allen, he threw two interceptions. So the season opener, he tends to be, in particular, turnover prone. Are you hoping for something different in week one in that sense?
Yeah, of course. And I think what's going to weigh heavy here for the Bills is that they're at home. Last year they were at the Jets. I believe that was Sunday night football or Monday night football. I flip a coin. It's one of those two. The Rams was the game we're going to get tomorrow, the season opener for the entire league on a Thursday. Both of those were on the road. And even just looking back to last year, from what I remember, the Bills had the Raiders at home and walloped them, I think, like 38-10. I think Allen gets that extra little juice at home and plays pretty out of his mind at Highmark Stadium.
What is your then prediction for this game?
I'm going to go something around maybe like 27-28 to like 14-17 there. I think the Cardinals are going to be able to put up some points, but I think the Bills are going to, whether it's at the beginning of the game or the end, I think they're going to just pull away a little bit comfortably in this one. And more than anything, as I referenced, I think Kyler, maybe physically and in media headlines, gets beat up a little bit too much, but I like him. I think he's going to be also bouncing it back and having a solid year myself. But the Bills at home opener, it is, you know, even down in Arizona, I'm sure everyone's aware of who Bills Mafia is, and there's a reason for that. It's going to be like a national holiday in Western New York on Sunday. It is one of those things where they're going to be up for it, and the players feed off of that, and I think it's just going to be, that's going to that's going to pull. I don't usually always buy into it every single week, but something about the home opener in that place, it is something else.
And important to note, the Cardinals have not won in Buffalo since the two teams' first meeting in 1971.
All right. I'm feeling good. Instead of 27, I'll go 28 then.
I personally think it's going to be a closer game than that. I don't know about the Cardinals defense. That's the big question mark for me. So between the uncertainty in the passing, some of the questions of the passing game like with Buffalo and the Cardinals defense being a question mark, Buffalo's defense is great, but I think the offense on the Cardinals will be fine. And I think it's going to be a lot of people predict a lot of like 38-35 and 35-30 games for the Cardinals. I think it can be that type of game.
Okay. I'm signing where, up for that.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the spread has ranged from 6 to 7, right? So this morning I saw it was, I think, 6.5. And I'm going to say that this is probably going to be a 30 to 24 type game where the Cardinals, and it's going to come down, they'll probably be like a game winning drive that they do or a pull ahead where the Cardinals run out. I don't know, but I think it's going to be closer than, it could also go badly. The Cardinals have a terrible schedule to start. They play 5 playoff teams in their first 6 weeks. And I mean, starting on the road, but this is also a team that went into a Tennessee team that was expected to dominate and just beat them down a few years ago. That was with Cliff Kingsbury. That was with a different group. But I think this Cardinals team is going to be up for it, but I'm not going to predict a win. I think it'll be a really entertaining game for on both ends.
Yeah. Yeah. I think where the pressure really lies with this one is the Bills. As I mentioned, home opener, all that good stuff. After this, they got the Bills, because you mentioned your schedule. The Bills, they got a pretty hectic one too. The next 3 are on primetime: Dolphins Thursday, Jaguars Monday, and then Ravens on Sunday. Primetime games, if you will. And then they're facing their old friend Stephon Diggs, Texans. Then they got the Jets. And then they got the Titans, which, and then finally the gas pedal kind of comes off there. But that's quite the roller coaster there. Some divisional games, some important teams in the AFC. I don't know about the Jaguars. We'll see. The Jaguars just seem to be a team that's like always pegged for like maybe like 500 or somewhere where the Bills go into that game. You're like, yeah, Bills got this. And then they win like 6-3 and it's like the worst game. And the Jaguars give them the worst time. They lost to them in London. So it's going to be. Going to be interesting start for the Bills as well, and I think the Bills need a win here. I'm not going to say it's a week one must win, but I think the pressure is there for the Bills to get the job done.
Oh, absolutely. I believe that. Interceptions. So, turnovers. Josh Allen's had 5 picks in the last 2 opening weeks. Do you predict over or under? If I'm going to give you 1.5 is the line, over or under 1.5 interceptions for Josh Allen?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'll give some confidence. I'll take under. But if you would have said turnovers, I might have said over. So I'll take the political answer on that one. Because he did a couple of years ago when he first, got his starting groove on, if you will, he had a problem with the fumbles was the issue. Then that got resolved and he got the confidence in his arm. And then the interceptions have become the issue. So... Ziri turns it around, and I'll give him that. But I will predict he throws one. I'll give you that. Someone will get an interception.
If giving you a line of one, a projected total of 1.5 touchdown passes, over or under? Well, okay, we'll do 2.5 total touchdowns, over or under that amount.
I'll go over on that total touchdowns. Ooh. Because him rushing the ball. He just makes it happen with his legs. I could see 1 passing touchdown from Allen and 2 rushing ones for sure. It's just what he does. It's what the guy does.
If we're talking sacks, if we do 2.5 sacks, over or under 2.5 sacks for the Bills defense?
Ooh, I'll go under. There are a handful of quarterbacks I would never want to try to sack. Back in the day, you'd say Ben Roethlisberger because you're just not going to get him down. Now it's like Kyler Murray, I'm just not going to get a finger on him. So I think I'm going to go under with that one. I think that that Murray's going to be a handful.
All right. And turnovers created by the Buffalo defense. Let's say 1.5 over or under 1.5 takeaways.
Another good question. I'll say under. Maybe they get one, but I'm feeling good. Connor's a great back, but I think they're going to handle him well, and I think that's maybe where they'll win the game. DaQuan Jones is their defensive tackle there, who's just the rock in the middle, and I think him coming back healthy will help the Bills there. So I guess under, but hopefully the Bills can stop the run.
And you're picking, is it 28-14, 28-13, 28-17?
I'll go 28-17. I'm thinking that basically in comparison to yours, I'd add a field goal to it or something like that. Maybe the Bills tack one on late. Maybe they just, you know, score twice early and the Cardinals don't have enough in the tank at the end. So yeah, I'm going to take, 28-17 then.
Which would be a Bills cover win and the cover. And I think based on the line, I think the under would, I think it's at 47.5 is the projected total. So I've got a closer, higher scoring game. Nick's got a hand, like the Bills handling business pretty confidently, double digit win over the Cardinals. And that will wrap up this edition of the Rise of Seer podcast, the best of Cardinals talk and live. You can catch Nick's stuff. You will see Nick's answers. He will take us behind enemy lines this week. You'll find that on CardsWire. And you can also find Bill's, Nick's work on BillsWire.com. Everything Bills related and Bills Cardinals related. So make sure to check that out. Thanks again, Nick, for your time. Appreciate the time. Second time in a couple of months. And with that, we'll be back again soon. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red. Whoa!